Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. If you've been following along these last few weeks, you'll know that we've had an episode on the divine masculine. We had an episode on the divine feminine. And by request by a friend last week at the end of the show was, hey, why don't you just do one on both coming together? And I was like, yes, coming together. So that's what we're doing. We're coming together, kids, all at the same time. So coming together. If you don't get the joke, it's okay. It might not be your first language. If you do get the joke, you're my people. All right. So sacred union, what is it? Why are we going to talk about it? Well, let's first let you know why do I even have any authority on this subject? Why am I even talking about this stuff? Part of it is that I've basically been, while I've been doing this show for the last 11 and a half years, I've had a few friends who have PhDs. They're like, you do realize all the research you've done over the last 11, 12 years could easily qualify you for like the equivalent of a PhD. You don't really need to go and prove that to anybody because you already have listeners and you already have all this stuff. So I thought that was very cute. So one of the reasons is because I love doing research on relationships and sex and intimacy and all things that would be pleasure related. I'm fascinated by it. I have been since I was quite young. So why do I do it? It brings me pleasure to assist you guys in bringing information to you guys to have more pleasure. Also, one of the reasons I do it is because as a holistic health practitioner, I have been working with people for, well, I was, when I first started, I was like a part-time practitioner. So I started about 30 years ago. And then as a full-time practitioner, it's been 19 years. It'll be 19 years in May that I've been a full-time practitioner. So why do I do this work is because in my practice, I have had many, many people come in. And what we find is a lot of times what some of the fundamental things are that are going on in their lives actually have to do with their relationships. And then when it comes down to it, people who are in long-term relationships, a lot of times there's stuff going on where the sex is an issue and it's actually creating stresses. It's creating lack of connection, which is creating stresses. So I was like, what are these interesting relationships between sex and health? And a lot of times you might not realize it, but I am talking about sex and I am talking about health simultaneously. I'm talking about pleasure and how pleasure is a fundamental component to being healthy. And if you want to know more about that, I have a book coming out in a couple of weeks. And if you'd like to be part of the launch party, all you got to do is write to me. So write to me through my website and I will invite you to the launch party. If you'd like to be one of the people who get to actually get a preview of the book, when will that come out? I can't remember, but it'll be coming out, I think like 24 hours before the actual launch, maybe, maybe not. We'll see what happens. But what will be happening is that it's coming. So, and why is it coming out? It's because after all these years, I'm like, wow, there's so many episodes. And my brilliant BFF who owns this, this whole station, this whole network, she came up with a brilliant idea to actually turn your podcast into a book. So she has a service called Podcast to Bookshelf. And that is why I have a book, because I'm not a person who actually has a lot of patience for writing. And to be able to speak and have a really amazing editor help me to compile my thoughts and my words through me being able to just speak them and turn them into a book is ideal. So if you are somebody who has a podcast and you're like, you know what, I've got like at least 20 plus episodes. I have like 500 plus. So if you've got like 20 or more episodes and you're thinking, you know what, I got some good content in here and I'd like to turn that into a book, you can always go over to Inspired Choices Network and the services there. If you go across, you'll see podcast a bookshelf and you can jump on there and you can request a meeting to go grab yourself the same service that I have to get my book done. The book that I always knew I would write, but the book that I never knew how I was going to write. So that is a really cool thing to have that available. So what we're talking about tonight is sacred union. And every time I see the word union, like my brain sees it as onion. So hopefully I don't like call it a sacred onion several times while I'm talking, because my brain interprets it as an onion. Which is interesting. It's multi-layered, like a union can be multi-layered too. So what is the sacred union? Let's kind of dive into what, you know, I did a little brief in the show description on what, you know, like what a sacred union is, but then I'll give you some more info on that too. So a sacred union can be one, a really dynamic relationship where the divine masculine and the divine feminine come together. But the question is, how do we get those things to show up in our lives? How do we get to be those aspects? How do we get to embody those? And we talked about those on the divine masculine show and the divine feminine show. And they are not about the genitals you were born with. They absolutely have to do with what you are cultivating in yourself. So sacred union is where you're allowing both the divine feminine and divine masculine to coexist within you, and as well within, you know, the relationship your partner allows, or partners, plural, because this is absolutely available to people in polyamorous relationships as well. And it's to allow the people in the relationship to be able to cultivate all aspects of themselves and show up fully as who they are, not with like presumptions or assumptions about how things are supposed to work out, but to really invite both the divine masculine and divine feminine aspects to come and shine. Because one of the things that happens is when we do have the divine masculine and the divine feminine shining brightly in ourselves, and that we've cultivated them and continue to cultivate them, these energies can really work together rather than be like, a lot of people see them as the opposite of each other. And they're not really opposites, they're complementary. And some people refer to them as polarizing too. And I can see that you can use that energy of polarizing to, you know, create some pretty sexy scenarios. We'll talk about that later. But as complementary energies, they really work well together. So why on earth do we care about doing this? Is because in a sacred union, your relationship can become something that's beyond just what do you get from the other person, where that's like a really base level relationship. It's like, it's transaction. I think that's the word, transactionary. I might be inventing transactionary as a word, but it's like a transaction. So you give something to me, I give something to you. We're going to tally it up and see who did what for who. We'll figure out that. And that's very transactional. That it does not fall under the category of sacred union. And a lot of times when you are in a transactional relationship, it can be pretty basic and kind of working from the fundamental level of survival. And most of the transactional things, like you did this for me, I did this for you, is because there's a lot of fear of lack. There's a lot of fear of like loss as well. So, and it can even come down to, you did this to me, so I'm going to do this to you. So it can be punishing. In sacred union, a lot of those things have been either healed or are being healed. So it's a very different way to be with somebody. It can be an incredibly profound and spiritual relationship, partnership between people. between even more, some people refer to it as only two people, but I do know that this is available for polyamorous relationships as well. So not to discount that, because within a polyamorous relationship, you actually require being far more even open and aware if you're truly living in one that's conscious. So if we're moving beyond things that are rudimentary, like that's a good word for it too, rudimentary transactional relationships, when we're moving more into soul connection and we're looking at how do we grow con as conscious beings, how do we grow together? And growing together and being and choosing to grow together on a regular daily basis, rather than like you're off, you're on, you're hot, you're cold. It's a commitment to self. And then in that commitment to self, and usually too, so commitment to self, but we'll also throw in the universe, God, the God of your understanding, commitment to your relationship to God of your understanding, and commitment to relationship to the person you're with, your partner, your partnership. So you can, right there, right? If you're having a relationship with you and you have a relationship with God and your partner, that's already a threesome. Oh, that's going to make people mad. Oh, well. But there's already more than one person involved, right? So it's already polyamorous. And it depends on how you view source, energy, God. Anyway, so that's my thoughts for another day. Some people will call a sacred union like a divine marriage. It's a divine, you can start off with the divine courting and divine, and then lead to divine marriage, right? So if you are having similar belief systems that you don't even necessarily have to be similar, but you have, because my husband and I have very different views of God in the universe, but we both are very much understand what our views of that are. We don't sit around trying to convince each other otherwise. So when you are growing your own relationship to basically the essence of the universe and creation, and you're growing your relationship with your partner, you have a far greater chance of your relationship thriving, surviving, and being able to survive the things that like we'll call it the rudimentary or transactional relationships can't survive. Because transactional relationships, as they become punishing, are not really focused on growth. They're focused on retribution, like who's going to get back at who and how's it going to happen. And they try to achieve balance in a way that's unhealthy and, well, punishing in a way that's also not consensual punishment. So you can have a relationship where you have consensual non-consent and that is playful punishment, but this is not what I'm talking about here. So it's like my brain is very funny in that every time I go to say something, there's no hard, fast rules on things, because there is always going to be there's this essentially and more. It's like playing any kind of games where you're doing stuff spontaneously. You're like, yes, and so that's kind of like, yes, there's that and there's more. So when we're looking at things like how to create in the essence of sacred union is how to create like internal balance. And first you have to work on you. So healing your own trauma, which is a big thing, and I talk about that a lot, and it is going to be a big chunk of content in the book that's coming up. And then also through healing your own trauma, you'll start to learn that it's safe and okay to integrate divine masculine, like your strength and your focus. And it's also okay to integrate your divine feminine, which is like your creativity and your intuition. And it doesn't matter what genitals you were born with or what you were assigned at birth, because those energies coexist in every single person on the planet. And I truly do feel some people are more in tune with certain energies than others, and they might want to represent them more in their life, right? So this is, but that too is a conversation for another day. So internal balance. Internal balance, how do we do it? Well, first, how do we heal that trauma? And I've done a lot of shows on how to heal that trauma. So boy, go back and listen to some of them. Trauma will be in most of the titles, and you can go back and find probably 50 in the last 2 years that will touch on trauma in some way or other. How to navigate it, how to work through it. So we are going to just head to our first commercial break, and we'll come back. We'll be talking lots more about different aspects of this very sacred union when we come back. So you are listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On The Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we're talking about the sacred union coming together. Great title, right? I just thought it was hilarious. Anyways, I laugh at myself and because I like puns. Anyway, so we were before break talking about the internal balance that's required for sacred union and how do we achieve that, playing around with how do we heal our trauma and how do we then cultivate our, you know, divine masculine and divine feminine energies. And the last two episodes, just before this one, I really did a deep dive on both of those. So we will have some brief reminders on this one, but go back and listen to those for a deep dive. So with sacred union, we're looking at how do souls kind of come together? Again, we use that word, come together. They're joining in ways, many ways, but mostly it's to take the focus off of, like, it's not necessarily about sex. Sex can be great in a sacred union relationship, partnership. However, it's not the only thing, right? So one of the main things about a sacred union is to be able to have growth and that your relationship has purpose and that each person has their own purpose. And generally the purpose you have is usually connected to something that would be, how do we better the planet? How do we better the world? How do we contribute to society? How do we contribute to others? You know, in so many ways, it's like asking the big questions of like, what can I do to that? Like, what can I offer the world that will make the world a better place? So we can ask these questions and then we can see what happens. So being able to come together and be focused on how do I grow as a human being? How do I support my partner in their spiritual growth? How do I support those around me in their spiritual growth? How do I support myself for my spiritual growth and soul growth? And what is my purpose, right? So when you know what that is, and then you can share with your partner, you know, it's like, okay, so I'm creating this thing in my life, and the way you can support me is blah, blah, blah. Sometimes you can just tell them how you could really receive support. So for example, in my business in the winter, my husband does a lot of stuff all year round. He's super busy in the summer because he's in construction. So during the winter, he's like doing stuff that contributes to my business. Because normally if we don't have to go anywhere, we won't bother like cleaning the driveway, like who cares? But if I have clients coming, he'll be out there for hours. Even though we have like all the tools to clean the driveway, we have a massive driveway. So it's like doing certain things that actually support your partner's purpose, and like everything that supports their purpose will also support you, because it's reciprocated without having to be transactional. You're not taking count of, well, he just cleaned the driveway, so I need to go and do A, B, C, and D, right? It doesn't work that way. And never, ever. So in this relationship, I have never once had my husband say, well, I do all of this and you do nothing. And I have never felt the need to say that to him. Why? Because we do our things and we support each other in our own ways. Has that happened in other relationships? Almost always. So that is not something that is, I don't know if it's that common to be able to be in a relationship that isn't transactional. I think we're trained to be transactional so that we feel like the relationship is fair. And what I know is relationships will be fair when you've dealt with your shit, you work through your trauma and you're working on the aspects of you, like your divine masculine and divine feminine, and you're working on that as part of your life and part of your purpose, then things don't feel transactional. When you work with somebody who is not working on their shit, it can feel transactional because it might land more on your shoulders to be the gift rather than where it's just naturally shows up as being shared. So if you have a relationship that feels like it works smoothly and you're like, hey, why does that work? It's probably because as much as you might not be lovers with that person, you could have a sacred union with them in a way that's more like you could have a best friend who you have that kind of relationship with. And you could have, you know, that kind of similar energy plus throw in the sex and now you've got a sacred marriage. You can have sacred unions in many ways. A lot of what we're talking about today, because it's the pleasure zone, will be geared more towards the people you're having the good times, sexy times with. So the focus is on growth, spiritual, emotional, soul growth, and assisting each other with your purpose in different ways, right? So like I was saying, like my husband cleaning the driveway is helping me with my purpose so that I can work with people on a daily basis. So these things they all are part of it. Some of the other things that are required. So we're talking about healing the trauma. And so you need to heal the trauma because you need to be able to feel safe. You need to feel like there's trust. And you need to feel in your own self whole before you expect another person to fill that wholeness. And I remember reading Celestine Prophecy. It was one of like the very first spiritual books I read. I think it was 19 at the time, maybe 20. I don't know. I think I read it like the year after it came out. So maybe like 1990 something. I don't know what year it came out, but anyway, a long time ago. And I remember the thing that stuck out to me the most in that book was the description of relationships. And it was such a simple way to explain it, was that you don't want to have two people that are like half full coming together to fill each other's cups. You need to have your cups filled. Well, I'm summarizing. You need to have your own cups filled and come together with two full cups rather than a half cup and a half cup coming together to make one whole cup. So the harmony comes from everybody being in that place of feeling fulfilled. And you can feel fulfilled in that moment, and then you can continue to work on that because you're ever growing, ever changing, ever evolving. So you can develop more and more of yourself all the time. And then when we look at safety, trust, and whole, so the wholeness part is where we're, you know, not dependent necessarily, but that on each other, but that person is an addition to your life, but you don't need them to breathe and you don't need them to be happy and you don't need them to be alive. You just enjoy them as a complement to your life. And one of the things with safety, so safety, trust, and wholeness are those, you know, super important components that we want to look at. How do we create safety with things like clear communication? Do we speak how we feel in a way that's respectful and not blaming, right? So a lot of relationship issues with communication breakdown is because the person doesn't take personal responsibility. It's always about, you did this to me, you did blah, blah, blah. So yes, there can be times of abuse where somebody did blah, blah, blah. And I'm speaking from experience, guys, when I say this, so I'm not just talking out of my ass, but as much shit that can happen to you in your life, the one thing you have control over is the way you react to it and the way you continue to react to it. If one thing happened to you, say, for example, like me when I was 25, I could choose to continue to react to that every day of my life. Or I can say, okay, that happened. And I choose a whole other way to be with this because I'm not interested in going down a dark frickin' hole for the rest of my life because one incident created a fucking hole. So we learn to communicate respectfully so that we're not coming from brokenness and sadness and harm. And we learn to communicate with ourselves respectfully, where it's like we acknowledge, like, okay, yes, am I the victim? I could be. Do I choose to be? I choose not to be. I choose to be whole. Now, what do I require to feel whole? Okay, so maybe I need to talk to a bunch of these people and I need to do this work. And a lot of those are the questions that I asked that got me to try so many different healing modalities to then end up like getting certified in probably a third of the ones I've tried. And then to be able to offer that to the people that I work with so that there's a variety of things. It's not... And also for me, that was helping me to develop self-trust. A lot of the stuff I did was also to learn to trust myself again. And once you start to trust you and you trust your relationship with the universe, that the universe has got you no matter what, that once you truly, truly know that, you will be able to spot where somebody is messing with you, lying to you, or where somebody is trustworthy. And whether you can trust them or not, or you can just trust that they're like a liar, you know, but either way, you can trust your knowing about the situation. So trust is super, super important. I think it's also clearly, not that it's misunderstood, but I think there's more to it than a lot of times we talk about. Trusting somebody often means to a lot of times it's like, I trust you because you did A, B, and C like I asked you to. Trust can be many more things than that. Trust can be like, I can trust that my husband will always leave a plate on the counter and not in the sink. Will I get mad at that? I don't need to because I know that that's what he's going to do. So I can trust that. But if I didn't trust that, and every time I saw that, I would get mad and be like, oh my God, you left a plate on the counter. For the last 12 years, you've left a plate on the counter. I could lose my mind and create so many more issues out of that. Or I could just be like, I trust that I know that that's what you will do. And that's okay, because I know that. It's me trusting me. It's not me lying to myself saying it's going to be a different way. It's going to be a different way because I want it to be. No, it is this way, and I trust that I know that it is this way. You get what I'm saying? And if it is stuff that ends up feeling abusive, you don't have to, you can see the abuse, trust that it's there, and then you can get the heck out of the abuse. You don't have to be in the abuse. You can see it, know it, and walk away from it. All right. Holy cows. I haven't even gotten into the some of the good yummy yummy stuff yet. I will though soon. All right, guys. You are listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we will be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today we are talking about the sacred union and coming together. Yeah, so this is what we are doing. In the last section, we were talking about mostly what is sacred union, what are some qualities to sacred union. And I think just to give you guys a re-debrief between what, you know, the energies of divine masculine and divine feminine are, I'll quickly give you guys that because I realize some of you might not have listened to the last two episodes. So for those of you who didn't, here's a very brief, but go listen to the other episodes, please do. Divine masculine is often associated with things that are like structure and direction and protection and action. And divine feminine is usually associated with intuition and flow, receptivity, creativity, dreaminess, you know, like the arts. Yeah. So, and a lot of cultures throughout the last probably 100, 200 years, okay, at least 100, I meant 1,000 because I was looking at the year 1,000 in my brain, but I said 100. So around, man, even probably going back, let's say 2,000 years, the priority has been on divine masculine traits. On masculine traits, period, not even necessarily divine masculine traits. And feminine traits have not been seen as something as valuable at all. So, like, giving would be an action-oriented thing, and receiving would be the feminine thing. And you know that old saying, it's better to give than to receive. Well, that absolutely negates the feminine energy, right? They're both equally important. So the question that I pose to you guys is, to actually start to look in within yourself, to start to look at some of these qualities and see which ones do you feel are more dominant in you. So do you have more dominant feminine qualities, more dominant masculine qualities? Where do you feel like you could add some of those qualities? Like if you're somebody who has a hard time taking action, is that something that you'd want to work on and cultivate in yourself? And how do you do that if you don't have inspiration? Or sometimes it comes down to finding out, you know, maybe your body is just absolutely depleted from minerals and vitamins and you actually can't take action because you're exhausted. This is where my work with relationships and health come together, because I can check those things and see, you know, what's actually going on. Is your body depleted, or are these things that you need to start to just switch your thought patterns on and start to take new approaches to this stuff? So which energy do you feel like you bring to the world more? Do you bring divine masculine energies to the world? Do you bring divine feminine? Is what you're doing neither divine masculine or divine feminine, that it's just masculine or feminine and the divine part has been totally negated or neglected? So if you're neglecting that, like how do you neglect that? You can. We will talk about that in a minute. Just notice what you lead with and then start to see how you can add certain things so you can balance that. So one of the questions too you can ask is like, where am I always doing, like doing for others? And are you even allowing to yourself to receive? Are you allowing yourself the energy of flow, or do you need to be in the energy of control? So if you allow flow and you can just move with things, and as things change, you're aware of like change and things adjust and whatever, you're good with it, then you might start to feel, sometimes that can go overdose too. Like you can become so in the flow that you end up not having an opinion, or you don't really express a choice. So that's where bringing in divine masculine energy to say, this is actually what I would like. And then knowing where that works for you and where that doesn't. So we can have these traits become like overactive or out of balance. And some of the ways that they can become out of balance. So like an overactive masculine trait can be where you become like a workaholic, or like I mentioned earlier, like a control freak, being in total control of everything. Or you just completely shut down and have emotional shutdown. Or you feel like if you're not productive or proving your worth by like always showing results, then you know, that is also kind of an overactive masculine trait. And some of the overactive feminine qualities are where you might lack clear, you know, clear lines of conduct, aka boundaries. So clear lines of conduct can be, for those of you who don't like the word boundaries, that's my new term, clear lines of conduct, created here right now in front of you. That can be an overactive feminine trait. It's like you let people step on you and you become a doormat. People pleasing too can be an overactive feminine trait. And when we talk about that in the polyvagal response, that's when your body has gone into dorsal vagal response. And now your body is in parasympathetic dominance, and you basically are just like sloth-like, and almost you're frozen essentially. So you, but also people pleasing can knock you back and forth from being in parasympathetic dominant to sympathetic dominant, back and forth, because a lot of times you're also matching the energy of the people around you just to make them happy, or doing the exact opposite energy of the people around you. So if somebody's feeling really low, you try and be really high to switch them up, to help them, to heal them, you know? And it's usually unconscious until you start to become conscious that you're people pleasing and how freaking exhausting it is. You might just keep doing it till the day you die, like my grandma tried to, until she had a stroke and couldn't people please anymore. And people pleasing affects not only you, the one that's people pleasing, but it affects everyone around you. I know, because I've done it. So people pleasing can, you know, you're like, oh, I don't want to upset people. So instead of inviting two people over, I'm going to invite 28 people over so nobody feels left out. That's a people pleasing trait brought to you by Milica Jelinek. And I have done it before, and I'm definitely getting control of that. So taking control using my overactive divine masculine traits. Actually, no, I'm becoming aware of it and I'm choosing different. So one of the other overactive feminine traits is just avoiding things. Like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. No, no, I can't deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. And just like putting up walls to not even find any solutions, right? So that can be, and also things like emotional overwhelm is just feminine energy gone way to the extreme. So how do we balance it? We need to do things. Move, for example. When you got into emotional overwhelm, start moving your body. Make action so that your body feels like it's moving forward. It'll also get different hormones going in your body as well. But sometimes just walking or moving, like if you have mobility issues, just move your arms as if you're walking, like trudging forward. And that will have your body feel like, okay, I'm getting out of that super depressed parasympathetic dominant state and I'm going to start moving forward. Super helpful. So when we look at how imbalance, so that's imbalance in those energies specifically, but when we look at how imbalance can show up in relationships, it'll be where one partner leads in everything always. So that can lead to things like resentment, that can lead to like a lack of the polarizing energies that can be kind of sexy, like somebody taking more charge. Say, for example, if you're always the one taking charge in the bedroom, then it's like when that switches, it becomes super sexy because the polarity switches and it's like there's a new spark happening. So that can be a lot of fun. And then what also happens when there's an imbalance in relationships is that there's emotional disconnection. So how do we start to bring that into balance? So balance doesn't mean that everybody, you're 50% in the divine masculine and 50% in the divine feminine at all times. That's like a ridiculous request. It's to notice where you're being like overactive in one area and start to bring in those other qualities, right? So if you're being incredibly, say, emotionally disconnected, or you're feeling like resentment or whatever that is, you need to flip that around. So take some other actions, take some opposite actions that will start to flip that around. So we talked about some feminine qualities, masculine qualities. If you feel like you're more dominant on one side, then start to practice the other. If you're very action oriented, just see what it's like to sit back and receive. Does it aggravate you? Because it might aggravate you at first to just allow yourself to receive. A lot of people who show up in my office end up being people who are usually doers, doers, doers. And the only time they actually take a break is when they have an appointment that they know. And they're usually people who are good about showing up at appointments. They're like, oh, okay, I have an appointment I need to show up for. They've also consciously chosen to have balance in their life. And so they show up to actually take that rest and receive, where the 99% of the rest of their life, they're doing, 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 doing for others. And their job might actually be doing, doing, doing for others. So one of the things to do is learn how to just take a pause. You know, we talk about breath work all the time on here, but if you can, before you react to anything, because as we know, all emotions are valid. You're allowed to have your emotions. Not all actions are valid, right? So you can be emotionally, you can feel angry. Punching somebody random in the face for it, not a good idea. So take that moment to just breathe, like acknowledge, wow, I'm like, I sense anger right now. Like my body is showing me anger, right? So not that you as a being, and you know, your entire persona is not anger. It's that experience, and it might only be 3 seconds, and it might be an hour, it might be a week. It's an experience you're experiencing. It's a sensation you're experiencing, an emotion you're experiencing. It's not the definition of who you are. And if you can take the time to breathe and realize that, you can move through it a lot better. So some other questions to ask in your relationship is, do you require some structure? Which might be like, do you, you know, having date nights is some structure. Also having kind of an understanding of things like chores that need to be done in and around, you know, your shared environment. And do you need to have more conversations, more communication that needs to be more open? What topics have you strayed from or avoided? So there's a lot of topics people completely avoid. And are you willing to talk about those scary topics that people avoid? Like, have you brought up your deepest, darkest pleasure desires with your partner? And are you okay with bringing those up with your partner? Or are you scared to? Are you scared they're going to run away from you if you tell them what you really want? Because part of sacred union is being able to say to your partner what you desire, whether they agree with you or not, is a whole other thing. It's not that they need to agree with you. It's that they can hold the space for you to actually say what you feel and what you desire. Oh, I should be at my next break, guys. I missed that second. So we're going to head there. Head off to the break. You are listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. I am Milica Jelinic, and we will be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we are talking about sacred union and coming together. Oh, yeah. So in the last segment, we were talking about some of the things that can happen if you're like overactive energies in the departments of different, you know, whether you're out of balance with extra feminine energy or extra masculine energy. I was going to say macaroni because my mouth wants to say words today. It's funny. All right. So we're moving right along to the next key point that was listed in the show description, which is all about sacred union in intimacy and pleasure. And on this note, we're going to be talking a little bit about some key things that we need as a base, kind of like our foundation. And one of the foundations is to be able to start with feeling safe, right? So we talked about safety is super important. Do you feel safe? And if you do, and you have emotional safety, that's fantastic. If you feel like you have emotional safety, the chances are the relationship you're in has a lot of qualities that would probably bring you to sacred union. Right. So you might actually feel like you have sacred union. And then we have some other fun things, erotic polarity. Around. If you imagine, it's kind of like, to me, it's like that electricity that happens, the sparks that happen in a way that's very sensual. Right. So erotic polarity is like the energetic spark that gets people attracted and gets them going and gets them feeling like they want to play. Flirt can be very flirty, and there can also be very direct energy. So when you're in your divine masculine energy and you're playing with like erotic play, you might find that you're feeling really present, you're really there and really direct. That's when saying random things, thinking back to my own brain and things I've said, saying some random things that might be incredibly direct, like, I want you to spank me right now. That's incredibly direct and very present. Then that can be one of those things that starts to create play. And it creates that divine masculine energy is kind of the dom energy. And then the divine feminine is like the divine submission. Yeah, so sacred submission. So when we look at the divine masculine energies, and just like tap into what that feels like. What does it feel like for you to have a partner that is embodying the divine masculine energies predominantly in the bedroom? Do you like thrive on that? Do you love when somebody's being direct and giving direction and asking for things and being very clear on what they desire? Do you love also the divine feminine energies in the bedroom, which is like the energies of flow and receptivity and like, you know, somebody gives direction and the answer is, oh yeah, I'll try that. And also the honoring too of boundaries as well, because that's important in divine feminine energy. And there can be like attention. So it doesn't matter who has necessarily who has that energy predominantly. If I can be quite a divine masculine energy a lot of times. And as long as there is interplay and those energies coexist, you know, so if I'm being predominantly divine masculine and my husband is then being predominantly divine feminine, then it can work. And then it can also flip if, you know, through awareness and through conscious choice, you can flip those too, where I could become divine feminine predominantly and he could become divine masculine predominantly. And that's, you know, that's when you are being both, when you can invoke both and be both and embrace both, you can flip that around for fun and for play. And it can be super fun to do that too. So you could go from being sacred submissive to being like a super sexy dom energy in a short span of time. So being clear again on the fact that these energies are not designated to your genitals doesn't matter. That's what I was pointing out, that I can be that divine masculine quite often, especially there are times where I'm quite the leader and there are other times where my husband is quite the leader. And I tried to explain this to some dude once who I just about lost my, I just about made him lose his cojones because I was so freaking mad at him for he basically got to talk in front of a room and he told such bullshit to people that it pissed me off. And he was like, men need to lead the women. That is not how it works, my friend. We all have those energies. And when I explained to him that that is not how it works and that is not a balanced relationship, he was quite confused by me. And I was like, if you don't have all of that in your relationship, you will have problems. Anyway, that was a couple years ago. And then I just wanted to vomit after talking to him because he was vomit. Anyway, oh, the memories. Anyhow, so what do we want to do? We want to create desire is what we actually have a lot of fun doing, because desire can thrive on these like differences we have and desires we have. So creating desire, and by looking at what are our differences, what do you like? What does another person like? And then being willing to negotiate and play with things within reason of what you are okay with, of course. And then cultivating things like communication and being able to communicate your desires and being able to have playful interactions that don't necessarily lead to sex. They're just playful, fun, slap on the butt situations. Today before my show, I just, you know, playfully shoved my finger into my husband's belly button and he laughed and like the Pillsbury Doughboy and off he walked. And sometimes you can just be silly like that and get away with it when everybody has an understanding that it's just silly and fun. So
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.